Begin at verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter at verse 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hand and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Doubting Thomas. How'd you like to be doubting Thomas? You have this one real, concrete experience. You say this thing, and then all of a sudden that's what you're known for. I can't believe it. I like to give Thomas some grace, because I'm pretty sure I'd be Thomas. And I think if you're truly honest with yourself, you probably would be too, right? Does anybody want to disagree with me? That's fine. How was that? I throw that out there and be like, everybody's going to agree with me. Anybody not? I think when we get down to it and we understand and we read this story, Thomas's actions are so clear. Imagine you have heard this story from the women that have come back from Jesus's empty tomb. You've heard Peter and John who have run down to the tomb and looked and come back, and they've told you over and over again, his body's not there. These angels have spoken to us. Mary even has this conversation with Jesus, falling down at his feet. You've heard these stories all day long that something incredible has happened. This Jesus that you thought was dead is now alive. But you're scared, you're worried, you've locked the door for fear of those who had killed Jesus would blame you for his body disappearing. And so you've locked yourself in your room, and all of a sudden Jesus just pops up. And first of all, Jesus' first words to his disciples, how would you like that? They're, just imagine, they're all in this room fearing for their lives, the door locked, and all of a sudden somebody looks up and there's Jesus there, and he's just like, "Peace be with you." Like, read a room, dude. What's going on? And Jesus has this experience. He sends the disciples out. He breathes upon them and gives them the Holy Spirit. "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I sent you." This thing that you've watched me do for these 3 years, being sent by God, I'm now sending you to do all of the incredible things that I have done, you will do also. If you say sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. If you say they're not, they're retained, then they're retained. What an incredible experience. And Thomas comes back. He's missed the whole thing. I think in years past, I've joked that he was like out at the grocery store. He was making the run to get some Dr. Peppers or something. Somebody go pick up the subs. We're getting hungry. And he got the short end of the stick. Remember, they're still afraid. So he lost some bet, and he's the one that's got to go out. And in the midst of doing all this, when he gets back, he hears this fanciful, crazy, odd story. The disciples are all aflutter. Remember, he's left the room with these men who are scared and fearing for their lives. Imagine opening that door and they're just, oh, he was here. We saw him. He breathed on us. It's incredible, Thomas. When I get down to it, I think, yeah, shenanigans. I don't believe you. And I'm not going to believe you until I get some proof. Until I see with my own eyes the marks of the nails in his hands, until I'm able to touch those marks of the nails, until I'm able to put my hand in his side, I need these concrete proofs. And until I get it, I'm not going to believe. One thing that the story does not address, even a week later when Thomas does meet Jesus and is able to touch him and get that proof that he needs, it doesn't say anything about Thomas receiving the Holy Spirit. So I don't know. I don't know if Thomas has missed the boat on receiving the Holy Spirit. Perhaps Thomas unknowingly received the Holy Spirit when Jesus breathed on the other disciples. Maybe a week later, Thomas does receive the Holy Spirit and the gospel simply hasn't written it down. But I think I would react just like Thomas. Now, if you saw my sermon title, you should have been here yesterday. I like to fish. We've gone over this before. This is a fishing phrase. Like Thomas, sometimes you're a day late. You'll get out to the water, and you're struggling all day. You're throwing lure after lure. You're switching things up, baits, and just you can't catch a fish. And your buddy or some stranger down the way, like, oh, you should have been here yesterday. We were tearing them up yesterday. We couldn't catch them fast enough. As soon as you'd let one go, you'd have another one. We caught our limit, and then some. Oh, you should have been here yesterday. Uh-huh. Sure. So many fish. Why can't we catch them today? Sometimes you're a day late. Sometimes you should have been here yesterday. Gonna react the same way. But as I've been reading this scripture this week, been thinking about it, and like I said, I think doubt that Thomas has is a natural response. I think we want that proof. Especially when things seem so fanciful and unbelieving, we want to be able to touch it, to feel it, to believe it. Without that concrete proof, it's hard to get there. But then I wonder what would have happened in the coming days, in the coming years and months. We had a wonderful question in Sunday school. Are there any other spots in the Bible, in Acts, or in the Gospels where it's shown that Thomas has kept his faith? Or does he fall back? And we said, yes, in Acts there are at least two spots where Thomas is mentioned with the other disciples. He has had his proof a week later when Jesus is there and he's able to touch him and he goes on with the disciples and continues to do the work. And there's a church tradition that Thomas is one of the folks that goes way out east, possibly into India. It's not scriptural, but that's a church tradition. Thomas seems to have held on to this faith. But for our lives today, I wonder if doubt does not start creeping in. The whole point of this story is Jesus blessing us. I mentioned that with the kids. Those disciples, that Thomas, that were able to touch Jesus, how wonderful it is that they had that proof. But every single other Christian person who has believed without that concrete proof. Have any of you touched Jesus' hands? Stuck your hand in his side? I don't think I would do it anyways because that's gross. Put some gloves on first, maybe. Make me feel uncomfortable. None of us have had that concrete proof of touching Jesus' resurrected body. But we still believe. We've still gotten up on this beautiful Sunday morning after all the rain all weekend. How wonderful would it be to be outside right now? But there's something deeper that we believe in that has gathered us here. We believe. And Jesus has blessed us for believing even without that concrete proof. That's good. But doubt still comes in, doesn't it? We might not have been able to touch Jesus' physical body, but I think most of us have had experiences where we feel Jesus' presence. We've been to church camp. We've been at hospital beds. We've been when our loved ones have passed away, and that presence of God being with them, it's like touching Jesus, isn't it? We've had those experiences. And yet sometimes it's still hard to believe. Doubt continues to creep even when we've had those experiences. The other thing about fishing that I come back to a lot, there's one of the other sayings is fishing lures don't catch fish, they catch fishermen, fisher people. When you're fishing, this is what I've found, and I've been told by others as well. If you're confident with the lure, if you expected to catch a fish, it's much more likely to catch a fish. If you tie something on, you're like, that looks weird. I don't know if a fish is ever going to bite that. And you don't believe in it, you're probably not going to catch a fish. But as weird as the lure might be, if you think, oh, that's the one, that's the size, that's the color, that's the shiny, that's going to catch a fish. More often than not, it does. If you believe in the lure, sometimes that's all that it takes. And so as I'm fishing, sometimes I'll really believe in the lure, and it still doesn't catch a fish. The doubt comes in. I've seen it work before. I pulled that lure out of a fish's mouth. I've seen it work. But it's not working today. I've been in prayer and felt the presence of God. But it's not working today. I've walked in to witness and testify to folks and watched lives changed, but it's not working today. Sometimes that doubt keeps coming in. Doubt is good. Without doubt, we don't appreciate the deepness and the depth of faith. How wonderful it would be to touch Jesus, to feel his presence in every single thing that we do. But how real it is to live our lives feeling so far away. And yet Jesus blesses us for believing without seeing. So whatever your week holds, whatever these next few days after Easter, as we continue in this Easter time, as we get farther from the celebration of remembering Jesus' resurrection, embrace that doubt. Experience it. Let it wash over you. And know that in that doubt and in that belief that you find, Christ has blessed you.